obviously great to have the National Guard IndyCar here, Panther Racing, with owner John Barnes and Jane Barnes here, and National Guardsmen and women here today with us. Real honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have the Panther team here. Many of the players have commented on the car. Justin Smith, in particular, he likes it. So it's a neat neat event for us today.
Leonard Davis in the cockpit there?
No chance. There's no chance of Leonard Davis sitting in the cockpit of that Indy racing car.
Are these two?
He darn near weighs about a third of that car. That car there, that weighs, what, about 1,500, John? 1,500 pounds? 700 horsepower in that vehicle? And Leonard Davis, close to 350, so.
Have you driven one of those?
No, I've done the passenger, the ride-along, but I've never driven the Indy car.
How'd you get into
this? I got into racing and became affiliated as a part owner with Panther Racing in 1990. Well, really, when I first met John Barnes and the Panther team was like around 94, 95 when I first got traded to Indianapolis, where I signed with the Colts. Just went out to the track one day and was walking around and met John and his Pennzoil team at that time, and just they invited me back the next day and then come to the race and that kind of thing, and then following year kept in touch, and then a few years after that John Barnes spearheaded the team, the Panther Racing team, and the rest has been history. 28 wins, two championships later. It's been a great team. Been a real privilege to be a small part of that team.
You ever have a conversation with Joe Gibbs?
No. No.
Have you always been a racing fan?
Always been a racing fan since also Indianapolis. My dad, Jack Harbaugh, took us kids and the family to a time trial in 1976. And Tom Sneva broke the 200-mile barrier at that time trial. And ever since then, I've always liked the Indianapolis 500 and the racing. And that was the big sporting event that was always on late May, Memorial Day. Seemed like that was the best thing that was on in May. So always watched that every year. And then when I went to Chicago to play with the Bears, a good friend of the team there was Cap Boso, who was from Indianapolis. Went to Chittard High School, grew up in Indy, and he used to always talk about Indianapolis and how great Indianapolis was, and went back to a couple of the Indy 500s with Cap and some of his friends, and got to see what Indianapolis was like during the month of May. It was just a month-long ramping up to the Indy 500, and it was, it's just a spectacular thing. And then to be a part of the team and be in the pits for an Indianapolis 500, I still believe is the single greatest moment in a sporting event that I've ever been a fan at or watched, observed, the start of the Indy 500, and pretty much every one of those races. Just great privilege to be able to be a part of that and watch it up close. And learn a lot, too, from the team dynamic at Panther Racing and John Barnes as a leader, how he runs his unit, and carry a lot of that over into coaching and what we do here with the San Francisco 49ers. Speeding tickets? A few. Yeah. I've had a few. I don't know how many exactly. No, I don't think too many lately, though. I've matured.
Do you go back every year?
Not every year. Not every year. it's been, I think it's been two since Sarah and I have been back there. But try for a while there, had a long streak of being back there for, you know, the Indy 500, but haven't made it back for a year or two.
As a coach, could you comment on the on how the pit crew, they all seem to kind of work in concert?
Like a team. The team. There's no question. That's exactly how they operate. They operate as a strong, united team. They're well drilled. They're in great shape, and you know, they are just, you know, just that whole dynamic of the, you know, whether it's the pit crew or the engineering of the car, the mechanics, you know, the testing that the team does, the aerodynamics. I mean, everything is about that operation is designed to get a mile an hour faster. And, you know, that's this one thing that's been so profound to me, you know, watching that, the way they chase that speed, the way they chase that 0.01% improvement, you know, that tenth of a mile an hour faster. And that's been profound. I've really, really, really learned great lessons, you know, from that. And we really attempt to do that here. That's, you know, one of our primary goals. I mean, how can we get better? You know, what facet of what we doing can we tweak and try to get a little faster? Where can we reduce drag? Where can we save time? Where can we be more efficient? And you know, really, that's that whole operation. That's the whole operation of racing, and they do it as a team. Everybody doing a little adds up to a lot. That concept is there. You know, we win as a team, and that's the way we approach things here at the 49ers.
This third preseason game, do you see this as like the closest thing to the regular season as far as a dress rehearsal for your starters?
I know it's often talked about that. It's really this is, we approach this like we did the first two, and we'll do the last. Very, very similar in terms of how we prepare for it, how we our approach in all facets. It's they're equally the same.
Would you expect to play the starters longer into the third quarter?
No, like we said the other day, it'll be pretty similar to what we've done. And now game conditions can dictate that, who gets the ball first in the first half, you know, how many plays you run. You know, are there three and outs or are there long drives? I mean, do you get 20, 25 plays in the first quarter or the first half combined? If not, then, you know, we're probably looking into going into the third quarter with some of our guys. But things like the opening kickoff dictate how many reps each plays each side of the ball would get. You know, and then factors after that, turnovers or three and outs or long drives. So, but this is that's our approach. Won't be dissimilar to what we've done the first two games.
When you look at Peyton Manning now, these last couple of preseason games, do you see the difference between him and, you know, Peyton Manning in the past, pre surgeries, Peyton Manning?
No, I don't like to make comparisons.
Same guy.
Yeah. Past, present, no comparison. You know, even that kind of comparison.
What challenges does he present to your team? Is it a nice test for them to have to face him?
Well, we're facing their ball club, and they're a good team, solid on both sides of the ball. You know, mainly in a preseason game, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to be trying to get done as it relates to the regular season. So that's a lot of the work that we do during the week, and things that we'll try to get done and accomplish in the game will be, you know, toward situations that will be in the regular season. So, you know, we really don't focus as much on opposing players or you know, even opposing teams as much as we will in the regular season.
But do you think Pate has something to prove?
Does it matter what I think if, in that regard? I don't think so. I don't see the relevancy, what my opinion is on that. Don't think it's relevant at all to our situation here.
Did you game plan for the Broncos this week?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, definitely. Like we did last week, like we did the week before. It's just in an amount that's not the same as the regular season.
Is your quarterback rotation
going to be the same? We'll see. Definitely with Alex and then Colin, and then you know, we'll see how it plays out after that.
You mentioned that Colin has emerged. Is he your number two guy?
Yeah, he's the number two quarterback.
And that's carrying into through the regular season.
Well, yeah, everything's fluid and ongoing. But as of today, right now, yes, that's the way it stands.
Did you have a say in the Panther Racing number 4 because it was your jersey number when you played?
No, I didn't have a say in that, but that was just something that the team, I felt honored and by, and that they honored me by putting that number on there. So that was a really neat thing and gift that that John Barnes and the team gave, and I'm very, very proud that that's the number.
Did you grimace, I guess, with all of us when you know, the team was a quarter lap away from winning the Indy 500 a couple years ago?
That was a tough break, you know. and JR, you know, made the decision that only these guys can make and I don't know the hundreds of seconds that they have to make decisions, but there's nobody better in the world than these race car drivers at making quick decisions. I mean, they're really like modern day gunfighters when you watch them up close and all that they have to do in that in the cockpit and behind the wheel of that car. And that was just a tough break, and but just forever proud of the team and that that the team was in that position that they were in at that part of the race. And you know, they're always fighting, they're always climbing, they're always doing a tremendous job, and it's really about the people that they have working in the organization and the leader John Barnes, and so just proud. And you know, now we'll move on and be excited for the fellas this week when they race up in Sonoma.
Has Brandon Jacobs done enough? Has he shown enough to earn a role on the regular season team?
Yes. Yes, he has done enough.
Jim, when you came back from an injury when you were playing, was there an extra chip on your shoulder, perhaps? Or just going back to, I mean, the quarterback position, is there more to prove?
Well, the neat thing about these guys, these professional football players, and I always felt this way as a player as well, is that they're not the ordinary people that are out there walking around. I mean, they're not the ordinary people, you know, like that go into a doctor's office and are seen and evaluated, you know, with a leg injury. You know, they are. They're different. I mean, they're some of the world's most perfectly formed men, and they take pride in getting back in half the time that it takes other people with the same injury. They're in tremendous condition, but there's a real you know, pride about getting back onto the field and confidence in that your body's going to be able to just heal faster. And you know, that's a lot has to do with the doctors. And the medical staffs, there's no question about it. But I think there's something about these 49ers. I mean, they seem to heal in half the time as the rest of the population.
You know, last one, guys playing two positions, does that give you more roster flexibility, especially when you're looking at cutting down the roster?
Sure does. Yes, it does.
Well, what can a young guy like him glean from just being around David Akers for 4 straight weeks nonstop?
He has gleaned, which is so much, just on the subtleties of kicking, the details of, a true professional, probably one of the best to ever play the position. And he's taken full advantage of it. He's done just what he should be doing. And that is, been in David's hip pocket, asking him questions, watching every stroke that David puts on the ball, every conversation that David has with the holder and the snapper. He's been a sponge in that regard, and he has grown exponentially. I mean, there's the steady improvement plus the inflection point that we saw at the first week into training camp. I mean, he is an outstanding kicker, and a lot of that has been being around David and Brad Seeley this offseason. You just seen like how much improvement. And he was already good to start with, but with good tools. But he's a long way from being a carpenter, but he's a lot closer now after spending this time with David Akers.
Surprised to see a couple positive drug tests in a week span. I know it's not your sport, but you follow the sport really closely, and there are two right here in our backyard.
Yes, I just don't know anything about it. I don't know enough about it to comment intelligently on what is it called? Performing enhancing drugs. PEDs. Don't know anything about them. I really don't.